Our scripture reading this morning is going to come from two places. The first place will be from Daniel chapter 12, and the second place will be from Philippians 2. We are in the midst of a sermon series out of the book of Philippians, and I'll be reading two scripture passages from Daniel and then later from Philippians. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel comes after Ezekiel and is before Hosea. Daniel 12, the first four verses, and let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not has happened from the beginning of the nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. And then I'll be reading from the book of Philippians chapter 2, the verses 14 through 18. Philippians 2, the verses 14 through 18. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like the stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from the book of Philippians and Daniel. In last week's sermon, we mentioned that Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, is rich in Old Testament imagery. And we made the focus of last week's sermon on that first verse, verse 14, where the apostle writes to the people, "Do everything without complaining and arguing." The Greek words for complaining and arguing are a direct quotation, or are taken, I should say, right out of the wilderness stories of the children of Israel, right out of the book of Exodus and Numbers, where we read of God's people in the wilderness experiencing difficulties, and they argue and complain and seem to do everything with arguing and complaining. And this morning, as we move on into verse 15, once again we see Old Testament imagery being portrayed. In fact, as we look at verse 15, we see the contrast between the believers and between the world. The apostle writes in verse 15, "So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault." And at the end of the verse, he describes the believers as if they shine like stars in the universe, holding out the word of life. He also describes the world. The world, he writes, is crooked and depraved. A crooked and depraved generation, so the apostle describes them. And as I said a moment ago, once again, these images of which he writes come out of the Old Testament. The words crooked and depraved are directly correlated with Moses' sermon in Deuteronomy chapter 32. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 5, Moses describes the generation that died in the wilderness as crooked and depraved. He also uses images from the Old Testament to describe the New Testament church or the believers. When he writes, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Once again, language is taken from Daniel chapter 12. Now, since last week we focused on the wilderness generation, and that is, you know, connected with the passage in Deuteronomy, we will make the focus of this sermon that last phrase of verse 15, in which you shine like stars in the universe, coming out of Daniel chapter 12. Let's start there in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, where we read of the prophet Daniel writing to the church. Now, there are many things in these verses which perhaps are difficult for some to understand. Yet one thing is clear about these verses, and that is that Daniel is writing about the end of time. At the end of verse 1, he writes, or in the middle of verse 1, he writes, "There will be a time of distress such as not has happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people and everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered." Daniel is writing about a time at the end of the world where all those whose names are written in the book of life will be delivered. In verse 2, he describes what will take place. "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." At the end of the world, writes Daniel, everyone will arise. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, and some of those will rise for everlasting life, some for everlasting contempt and suffering and shame. But for the believers, writes Daniel in verse 3, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens and like those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. What does Daniel mean when he writes, those who are wise? Well, we know that in the book of Proverbs, we read, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Daniel is describing those who believe in God, those who believe in God's plan for salvation, those who know Him and identify with Him and His Word. Those who are wise, those who are righteous, will shine like the brightness of the heavens and lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Those who belong to God's kingdom will shine like the stars, shining brightly in a dark world which is going to be destroyed. And of course, Daniel is writing these words in Babylon. Daniel, who has witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem, Daniel, who has witnessed God's people being carried into captivity, Daniel, who has experienced suffering for what he has for his faith in God, he was thrown in the lion's den. Daniel, who has witnessed such a dark culture around him in the Babylonians, writes of this hope that someday God will resurrect everyone, and some will face everlasting life, and some everlasting destruction. But the Lord Jesus Christ also picks up on these images in Daniel, and he does that in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, the Lord Jesus tells us a parable of the wheat and the tares. My NIV translation uses the word weeds, so I'll be using that for now. But the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And of course, in this parable, Jesus is describing a man who plants his field. An enemy comes along and throws the seed of the weeds within his field, and up comes weeds and wheat together. And the farmer is wondering whether he should pull all the weeds, but he recognizes that if he pulls all the weeds, he may damage the good wheat and may affect the harvest. And so the conclusion of the parable is, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned at the harvest, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. The disciples don't understand this parable. And so in verse 36 of Matthew 13, they ask Jesus to explain it. explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. Jesus answers in verse 37, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Jesus applies the parable, demonstrating for us the good seed and the bad seed, the believers and the wicked. They are living together in the present age, but at the end of the world, just as Daniel has described, there will be a separation. Look at verse 40. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Once again, as we read the parable of the wheat and the weeds, we see the images portrayed that was portrayed in the book of Daniel. We see the end time, the harvest time, as Jesus describes it. We see those who do not believe in God, those who do evil, those who cause difficulties in this world. They will be thrown out and burned, and the righteous will shine like the sun. When we now come to the book of Philippians, we have to recognize that the Apostle Paul has these images in mind as he writes the words in which the believers are to shine like the stars in the universe. But as the Apostle Paul writes these words, he adds to what Daniel has stated and to what the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed. And as we read the book of Daniel, we see a description giving of the end of the world. At the end of the world, the wicked will be destroyed, and the righteous will shine like the stars. We see Jesus in the parable describing that final day, the end of the world, when the wicked will be destroyed, and the church will shine like the sun. But as Paul writes these words in Philippians 2, he's not writing of the end of the world. He is writing of the present day. Even now, writes the apostle, as you live your lives blameless, pure, as children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, you will shine like the stars in the universe, holding out, verse 16, the word of life. He describes the believers, even in the present day, as shining like the stars. What they are in the future, where they will shine like the stars at the end of the world, so they are even now in the present, writes the apostle. You see, the church in the present has already experienced this deliverance. They have come to believe in Jesus Christ. They are sinners, but their punishment has been paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. They have been delivered from their sin. They are declared righteous and blameless in His sight. And they shine like the stars as they hold out His word in their lives. This is not the case for the wicked, for those who are in darkness, for those who live in the culture of which they live, a crooked and depraved generation in Philippi, a generation which causes people and forces people to bow down to the emperor of Rome. For if they do not bow down to the emperor, they will go to jail. And the Philippian Christians have gone to jail. A culture which opposes Christ, a culture which opposes God's word, a crooked and depraved generation that surrounds them. And as the church suffers, as they live blamelessly and pure in Christ Jesus, they even now shine like the stars, witnessing even now what will take place on that final day. do you see the semi-eschatological picture of our text? Now, there's that big word again, semi-eschatological. What does that mean? Well, eschatology means future. And semi, before it means, even in the present, the future is being laid out. Even in the present day, the future and what will take place in the future is being demonstrated here now upon this earth. This is what's taking place in Philippi. And Paul uses these words and the description of these words and this semi-eschatological perspective to comfort the church and the believers. Even now, he writes to them, you shine like the stars. Even now, the generation that does not love Christ and does not love God's word is crooked and depraved, and they are destroying themselves. This is taking place. The future, even now, writes the apostle. What you witness, what you experience in this life, is what will take place someday. At the end of time. What's taking place in Philippi? Well, the church has come to believe in Christ. They believe in Christ Jesus that their sins are forgiven, that he has paid the price for their sins, and that they belong to him. In Christ Jesus, they are blameless and pure, children of God, born of God, and they shine like the stars as they follow Jesus' command, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The word of life is being upheld in their lives, and they shine in a culture which does not love God's word, which is crooked and depraved. And as the church, as they witness for Christ, they are already suffering for him. For the generation around them, which is crooked and depraved, seeks to persecute them and destroy them. Seeks to put them in jail, seeks to cause them suffering. And as that generation acts and does those very things, they demonstrate that they do not belong to the light. They demonstrate that they do not love Christ, for they persecute Christ's followers and they do not submit or believe in him. Their life testifies that they belong to darkness. The future world is already being demonstrated in the present world. For the church in Philippi. And the Apostle Paul has previously mentioned this in this book. If you look at chapter 1, verse 9, the Apostle writes of his prayer for the Philippians. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Their knowledge and depth of insight is one of growth in Christ. Paul's prayer is that they, in their love for Christ, may be able to discern what is best in their lives, the most excellent way that they must live, a way which shines like the stars. And notice the language at the end of the verse, verse 10. And that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. The same words, pure and blameless, that he uses in verse 15. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in which you shine like the stars in the universe. Even now they testify that they belong to the future and that they are Christ's. But notice also in chapter 1, starting at verse 27, here the apostle writes, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed and that you will be saved. As the wicked generation persecutes the church, as they do not believe in Christ, as they do not submit to Him, this is a sign, even now, that they do not belong to the light, and that on that final day, they will be destroyed. But as the church lives for Christ, holding out God's word faithfully in their day, and though it seems to the Philippians that all is falling apart on all sides as they are suffering for Him, going to jail, being beaten and suffering just as Paul has suffered, he writes, they experience what it means to be part of the light and to know that they will go to the future. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you, writes Paul, will be saved. But Paul's message is not just for the Philippian church. It is for the church of all ages. It is for present-day believers. For we also live in a crooked and depraved generation. We live in a world that does not love Christ, which does not submit to His word, which does not seek to shine like the stars in the universe, holding out God's word as they live their lives and as they testify for Him. But instead, as you follow the various media outlets, as you hear things on the radio, as you read the books that are written and the things that are being said, we see a generation which does not believe, which does not seek to live for God. And the temptation is there for the church, as it was for the Philippians, to go to them, to listen to them, to discontinue in that holding out of the word of life, but to follow what that crooked and depraved generation is teaching and the way that they are living. It's much easier that way, the mind may tell you. It must have been easier for the Philippians not to suffer and go to prison, but just to bow down to the emperor and get it all over with. But that's not what the apostle is teaching. As the apostle is writing, he is assuring the church, he is assuring the believers, that as they live their lives in Christ Jesus, they shine like the stars. As the culture around them tells them differently, as the culture around them lives differently, they stand up for Christ. They recognize that He has died for them. They recognize that the future is already being laid out and lived out in the present. They recognize that the judgment that Jesus took upon Himself on the cross pays for their sins. And as they live for Him, they know that in the future they will not suffer the punishment of those who do not know Christ. For in Christ Jesus, they are blameless and pure. In Christ Jesus, they shine like the stars as their lives hold out the word of life before them. Notice it's not the word of death. The crooked and depraved generation and their philosophy and their rejection of Christ holds out the word of death before the world. But it is the church, it is the believers, whom God has called to shine like the stars in Him and to demonstrate in their lives that they belong to Him. And the word of life that Jesus Christ lives is ever before them, even now, as they live their lives. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we see what the apostle has written, we see so clearly the future being portrayed even now in our lives. For Father, we see the wicked generation around us, a generation in darkness that rejects Christ, that rejects Your word. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as your people to shine like the stars. Lord, that you would help us to grasp the Lord Jesus Christ more and more each day, that we may hold on to him and grow in our knowledge and in our love of him, so that our witness for him in this world would be one of stars that shine forever and ever. And that, Lord, you would help us as your church and as your people to demonstrate even now the future, the day of resurrection, where all the believers will someday be with you forever. May, Lord, our lives be a witness to that light each and every day that we live on this earth. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.